hear about that. Amen. I want to go in today. I'm going away on Wednesday morning, so I wanted to leave you with one. A good one. It's a good one. Hallelujah. Just strap yourself in for the next 20 minutes. 20 minutes. Who's having a laugh? Got your Bibles. We're good. We're using no PowerPoint today. Just want to go for it and shoot for the hip today. Psalm 85 is where we are. So get your app open, get your phone open, get your Bible open. Just get something open. Hallelujah. You're going to love this, Psalm. You, Lord, showed favor to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. I'm just going to say that again. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. Amen. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. Verse 4. Restore us again, God our Savior, and put away your displeasure towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Verse 6. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps, and God will bless to us the reading of his word. Just before we get into the gifts of the Spirit, this scripture kind of captured my heart. Does that ever happen to you? That a verse you've read, or a scripture you've read, or a psalm you've read time and time again, it's good, but one day it catches you, and it catches you off guard. Well, what a beautiful song of worship this actually is. The poetic dialogue in this psalm are absolutely stunning. Just look at verse 10. Love and righteousness meet together. Hallelujah. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. And as much as I love that, that's not my text for today. No. My text for today, and the one that called out to me, was where the author in Psalms asked God an important question on our behalf. In Psalm 85, verses 6 and 7, he says, will you not revive us again? Which suggests we've needed reviving before. Will you not revive us again? Why? So that your people may rejoice in you. See, it gets very quiet in church life. The praise was dynamic this morning. It was great this morning. But God's looking for continually worshiping people in the sanctuary. Not just when it feels like it, not just when they choose to do so. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I want to talk a wee bit today about a subject matter that kind of we don't like to teeter on anymore, because I tend to believe we have quit believing that God is into revival. I want to tell you something. God is into revival. And if God is into revival, and we are into revival, and I personally need to be revived, then we need to put it out there. See, if you think we are doing okay, that's fine. Okay is not good enough for the heavenlies. A church on fire is what God is looking for here on planet Earth. When we sleep, eat, breathe, and live Jesus. This is what we're talking about regarding revival. So there's been much discussion, there's been much talk about revival down through the generations and over the years. Even the dictionary defines it as a reawakening of religious fervor. Interesting. Especially by means of evangelistic meetings. But today, this morning, I want to take a little time, just a little time, to analyze what revival might mean for you and I in our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Very quiet. What is revival? What is it all about? Well, I would say this first of all, revival is not evangelism, even though many people may be saved as a result of being exposed to a God-driven revival. And it's not, or should be, about some kind of emotionalism, although often, you'll agree with this, there are many emotional manifestations connected to it, most of which I have experienced myself and loved every one of them. But I would suggest here at Mossvale today, revival is a renewal. Amen. Revival is a renewal. It is a reawakening or restoration of spiritual life in an individual or amongst a group of people. Now that excites me. So I might go off in one this morning. And some of you can come with me and some of you run for the door. But I might go off in one. Just trust me with this today. I've looked at it, researched it, and the Holy Spirit has put the deposit in me today. Why does this excite me? Why does this theme, why does this talk, why does this discussion excite me? Because I know more than ever before, the church right over the world is in desperate need to come alive again. We are in desperate need for a move of God. I said before, we may be doing well. Doing well is never going to make it. It's never going to kick it. It's never really going to change lives from the inside out. People who are set apart, consecrated, on fire, Jesus, his name, thrills them every moment of every day. So much so, we wake up in the morning and say, God, here I am. Use me. What do you want to do with me? We talk about Jesus at breakfast. We talk about Jesus at dinner. We talk about Jesus round the lunch table. We get the Word of God open. We are breathing, 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 moment by moment, the life of the Spirit. You might say, that's impossible. That's what God's looking for. That's what God's looking for. You see, I have this bizarre feeling or sense where I actually want to see the life of the Holy Spirit re-energize and reawaken me. I am not there. I am nowhere near being where God wants me to be. I want to see the life of the Holy Spirit manifest in the people of God, both new and mature believers. Everyone, we've discussed recently about not quenching the Holy Spirit and acknowledging that God will not take his Holy Spirit from us. If that's the case, why then do we need a revival? Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's clear from Scripture that revival actually is about the spiritual temperature. Okay, stay with me here. It's whenever the love of God's people has grown cold. This is what we're talking about. It's when we move away from a godly focus. It's when we move away from wanting to encounter the glory of God. And as we step away from the things of God, we find that our dialogue and our conversation is no longer about the things of the Spirit, about testimony, about what Jesus is doing. But what happens is we step away from that, and all of a sudden we're finding fault where we never found fault before. We're finding areas to criticize that we never criticized before. We're finding ourselves caught in gossip that we'd never have found ourselves in before because our spiritual temperature has reduced. Are you hearing this? How do we test the temperature regarding ourselves? Well, let me tell you this. We need to check for symptoms that the mercury is dropping. We need to look for this in our life. So let me, can I question you today? Can I have permission to get in your face? Is that okay? Can you say amen to that? Well, let's test the temperature here at Moss Vale. How do we feel about the lost? How do we feel about the lost? I mean, do we watch the news and feel moved about the hopeless situations nations and people groups are experiencing? Do we read about those? Listen to this. Do we read about those embroiled in sin and murders, criminals, and even consider that God can still set them free? We're testing the temperature of our spirituality. Do you remember or even pray any longer about your unsaved loved ones? How is the temperature in your life today? I wonder, here's one for you. Are we hiding or are we covering secret sins? Oh, Lord have mercy. Glory to God. I mean, do we even acknowledge that some of our actions are sin in the eyes of God? We've almost immunized ourselves that sin is wrong. So we embrace it thinking, hey, there might be a gray area there. Well, when you're in fire for God, there is no gray areas when it comes to sin. It's crystal clear. Crystal clear in the things of God. I wonder this one, dare I say this? Are we harboring unforgiveness or anger towards our fellow believers? Oh, Lord. That could never happen here, Pastor. Can we do a check of our hearts and search out our hearts for any pride? And the Lord deposited this one. Is there anyone amongst us sitting on their spiritual high horse about anything? That's not possible. Do we give God the glory for all we have? Do we give God the glory for all we are? Now listen to me today. Listen closely. Hear this by the Spirit. We must realize or recognize that this type of spiritual deterioration can often come even without our awareness. Lord. Lord, always keep us conscious of what's happening in the spirit. What are you saying, Pastor? What are you saying to, listen to this. Who's heard of a guy called Samson? Samson had real power. Holy Ghost power. Samson had the power of God upon him. But if you look back there in the book of Judges, Scripture will tell you he played around with sin. Yes, he did. And was found helpless in the face of the enemy because he was unaware that he had no longer had the power of God within him. Listen to the exact words in verse 20 of Judges 16. He awoke from his sleep and thought, too many are sleeping. Too many Christians are sleeping. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and I will shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. My. Lord, have mercy. Let's go to the New Testament. The disciples had received power directly from Jesus Christ to heal and to cast out demons. And yet on this occasion, they were unable to do so. They had lost their power, but were unaware that it was gone. Jesus told them there in Matthew 17, it was because of their unbelief. Lord, have mercy on us today. You see, often the condition of our hearts is such, listen to this, that we are not aware of our need at the very time it's greatest. I'm going to tell you something. The flesh will fight against revival. Are you hearing this? The flesh will rise up against revival. You know why? Because revival means change. And we don't like change. We like the safety net, the status quo, things as they are supposed to be in our imagination. But revival means change. So the flesh will fight against revival. For to have revival, we must admit, first of all, that we have a need. I have a need. And that goes against our fleshly nature. So I wonder, as I was studying this through the week, what kind of revival do we need today? First of all, we need a revival. Listen to this. And I'm the pastor here, so I'll take some of the shame of this. We need a revival that will resurrect our church. Absolutely resurrect our church, because revival means a return of life, a return to life. It is God breathing back in. It is God breathing life back in. Listen to this, and you think we're okay. Listen to these churches that Jesus spoke directly to in Revelation. They too thought they were okay. Oh, glory. Jesus said to the church at Sardis, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Ouch. Oh, if someone said that to me, I would hit them with this. To the church at Laodicea, he calls them to repent. They thought they were great. They thought they were doing okay. They thought they had need of nothing spiritually. He rebuked the church at Ephesus for having lost their first love. They thought they were doing okay. So listen, hear me now, because I believe this, and by the Spirit, elements of all the seven churches in Asia are present in the church today. Hear what I'm saying? Many people become part of churches all over the world in name only. They are not interested, nor do they have any desire to serve or to be involved in ministry. It's just an occasional Sunday morning tick list. Oh. I'll encourage you soon, but not yet. It's my Sunday morning tick list. God have mercy. And we think we're on fire for God. Others are satisfied with the way things are. And they see no reason for any change within themselves or within their fellowship. Now, I know the truth never changes. I know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And praise God that he is. But listen to me today. Just as the world devolves, and just as the world declines morally and naturally, so the people of God and the church must evolve, and they must change as the Holy Spirit supernaturally changes us. And praise God, if you're open to change, you'll not be the same you were yesterday in the Holy Spirit. You'll be a different person today if you open your heart and say, God, here I am. Fill me, use me, change me for your purposes and for your glory. Hallelujah. Listen to this. This is my own life. In a nutshell, I want to be a Spirit-led one. That's it. I want to be Spirit-led, Spirit-fueled, I want to be spirit shouting. I want to be spirit dancing. I want to be spirit laughing. I want to be spirit crying. I want to be spirit jumping. I want to be spirit, the Holy Ghost and fire. Listen, we have to be a people who are constantly restless. We have to be a people who are relentless in going after the things of the Holy Spirit. We must be praying, Holy Spirit, breath of God, breathe on me. Breathe life into these bones. Breathe life into these lungs. Hey, sometimes we sing these songs and I don't even think we know what we're singing. It's your breath in our lungs. So we drip out our praise. We leak out our praise. We give you a spot when we want to in our time. It's your breath, korabasatai, in our lungs. It is your breath in our lungs. So we pour our praise to you. The only way you can pour out is to get breath in. Are you hearing this? If the breath of God is not in you, if the fire of God is not in you, gunk will come out of you. If you open your heart to the Holy Spirit and say, breathe in me, breath of God, then what will come out of you is this absolute joy and adoration for Jesus Christ. And at times you will wonder where it is coming from. I'll tell you where it's coming from. It's coming from a heart that is completely open and willing for God to change them and to move in them and to cause them to go on to the greater things that God has for their life. So it's your breath in our lungs. Breathe it in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen, there has to be a relentless. We have to be relentless in our pursuit of Jesus and the things of the Holy Spirit like never before. Let me come back to this about other people. You see, still other people, correct me if I'm wrong, they are too concerned about their own agendas. They're too concerned about their own agendas to see the need that we have. Some in certain churches actually think they have arrived. As long as I'm standing at the pulpit, we'll have never arrived. It's an impossibility because I am nowhere near where I want to be in God. So God forgive us should we ever get there. Because I happen to tend to believe that I serve the God of the more. Scripture says he is the God of abundance. So how could I think I'm there when he's saying, hey, there's more? I'll receive that. We need to cry out, Lord, revive us again. Revive us again. Let me tell you something else. We need a revival that will rekindle the old fires. Oh, yes, we do. We need a fire that will rekindle the old fires. You see, revive us again means there has been revivals before, hallelujah. And I wonder, do we still believe what God has done before that God can actually do it again? Do we still believe he who brought the former rain is about to bring the deluge of the latter rain upon us? Are we starting to hear a little rustle in the mulberry bush for the glory of God? I believe God is moving all over the world by his mighty power. We used to sing, God can do it again and again and again. He's the same God today as he always has been, yesterday and forever. Always the same. There's no reason to doubt God can. I think you know that one. Understand this. God can do it again. God's going to do it again. But he's looking for a people to get together in unity who are going to come together collectively so we can see God move in his mighty power. Understand this. See this Christian life? The faith-filled life is made up of so many new beginnings, or many beginnings. And to illustrate the life of a believer is not unlike hooking onto a hot air balloon and continuing to rise and rise until one day we are actually with the Lord. It's a journey for you and I that involves mountaintop experiences, but also valleys at the very same time. So let me state this again, we need a revival that's going to rekindle some old fires. Why? There are so many who are settling into comfortability and complacency that genuine first love for Jesus is on the shelf with our Bibles gathering dust. Hallelujah. How can we really expect God to move supernaturally? How can we really, come on, really expect a move of God? How can we expect a revival in our nation, in our church, when the totality of our commitment is to occasionally get down to church on a Sunday? Lord, and even that's as long as it doesn't clash with our secular agenda. I'm going to encourage you at some point. But I think I'm speaking to someone today. See, this is why revival was always born out of two or three people passionately crying out to God. From the days of the wilderness wandering, God has never really been able, up until the day of Pentecost, to get a large body to agree. I still believe in a thing called unity. I want this church to be that church. That we have revival. We come together collectively in one place at one time. I mean, how many of us today, I'm just reminiscing, forgive me. How many of us can remember better days? Days of dedication to the Lord. Days of dedication to His work. Listen, remember these days? Days when you came to church expecting great things to happen, when you came together to have an encounter with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Ghost and fire. How many of you, glory to God, remember those days? The former days. Hallelujah. I remember days. God forgive me. I still live in these days, because these days are today for me. Days when you wouldn't think of missing church for a family event. Oh. Days when you would not, God forbid, you would not, no matter what's happening. Remember, guys, you just wouldn't miss church. You were there Sunday by Sunday, Monday by Monday, prayer meeting, 7 a.m. prayer meeting, tea and toast was after, it was great. But you wouldn't miss anything. You were terrified you'd miss something. Remember? We just wouldn't. Family days. Kids' sporting activities. The shopping center. Some other activity. I'm going to encourage you soon. But I'm talking directly. If we want revival, these are the things that need to shift. And we need to realign ourselves with what the Holy Spirit is saying. You were so fearful of missing church because that just might be the day. That might be the one. And then Monday morning, you got the phone call. You want me there. And God was. And they're coming. They're coming. Because if you look around the world, which we discussed today, you cannot miss what's happening in our society and our world, and you dare nae miss church anymore. When you didn't look for some excuse why you couldn't be there or why you couldn't serve. Listen, church, here's what I'm thinking. We need a revival. We need a revival. God help me with this one. We need a revival that's going to restore joy. We need a revival that's going to restore Holy Ghost joy. Praise God. We need a revival that's going to bring victory and not defeat back to every single child of God. I'll tell you why. There are far too many defeated believers living out here. Too many deflated Christians in our churches. Too many disappointed. Hey, we should never be disappointed. Ever. As I get it, sometimes we get down. Sometimes the circumstances are a little bit difficult. But see in here? See this belly? Who? See this thing? This should always be on bubble mode. All the blooming time. It should never just be simmering. Too many are simmering. Don't simmer. Let it burst out of you. Let a wave come over your life from the presence of God. Engage what God is doing. Some of your faces are looking at me, you're terrified. You're terrified I might come near you. I won't come near you, but open your heart to God and let the Holy Spirit come near you. I can't do anything for you, but He'll do it for you. That's a fact and that's a truth. Too many Christians who are just drifting, lost their way. But you pray for them. Pray that God will heal them and restore them. Praying for our friends, praying for our brothers, praying for our sisters, that the joy of the Lord would in fact be their strength. Not a discussion, not a talk, be their strength. We need a revival where God will give us a brand new song in our hearts. Oh, don't get me started. How can we have this? How can we receive renewal, reawakening, restoration? Let me tell you, only He can. He is the source of all of this. I may be a conduit for information today, but it's about Him. It's about what He can do. Because it's impossible to schedule or plan for revival. What we must do is pray, God, would You grant it? Would You grant it? One of our... Listen, William, are you there? McDonald, stand up a minute. That's William. I'm going to challenge you directly, William. Early January 2024, our prayer and praise night. We are going to come together. We are going to gather together with one agenda. And one agenda only. Just focused on personal, local, and national revival. You got that? That's it, bro. It's all yours. It's marked in the calendar now. Don't miss it. That could be the night. If you get a meal planned out, enjoy it. We'll have a greater meal. We will feast on the good things of God. Here's the thing. I'm coming to a close. Come on up, Peter. Come on up. Just come up. I think we need to face up to some of our spiritual realities. I think it's time for many of us to see ourselves as we are. And I think it's time for the church to be really honest, and acknowledge God for who He is. It's time for so many to stop quit playing games. See sin for what it is. Confess it, repent of it, forsake it. We must desire to be revived. I sat in my car this morning, says, God, give me something. And I just put my foot in the rev and boom, 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 boom. God said, people need to get revved up. To get revved up in the Holy Spirit. You're going to sit at your table and just go, boom. Come on, Holy Spirit. Boom. Boom. If you got a Ferrari, be careful. If you got a Ferrari, up your tithes. Listen to me. Listen to me. Usually, and I think the problem is this, correct me if I'm wrong, we don't want this bad enough. I don't think we want this bad enough. Let me share the scripture. Stand with me right now. I want to just stand in reverence for the word of God today. Isaiah 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord. He will have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon. God wants to send revival upon those who genuinely need it. And I believe we need personal renewal. That means individuals getting right with God. Home restoration, Lord. That means families getting back to the place they need to be in. And then church reawakening that will come when individuals and families get right. Let me say this. Revival is not turned on and off like a water fountain. But if we meet God's conditions, and I believe we can, he will open the floodgates of heaven upon us. There are souls that need to be saved, and there are people that need to be ministered to. Who will do it? Who will do it? How many will die and go to hell because the church has grown complacent and self-satisfied? Verses 6 and 7, will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. Are we singing it's your breath in our lungs? Just making sure. Here's the thing this morning. If any of this has ministered to you or spoke to you, let God breathe the breath of God into your lungs today. Let the Holy Spirit bring you back to life again. There's no condemnation in any of this whatsoever. But there's hope for every one of us that we can make a difference in the kingdom of God. So as we sing this worship song, if you feel in yourself you've gone a little bit cold and complacent and you've just been settling and church has become an option and being around the family of God or people of God is just, it's not on your priority list. Well, if we want God to move by his mighty power, we have to change our directive and our perspective and be aligned with what God is saying to us through his word so that we'll come alive once again. I believe that God's positioned you here and we here to be together, not just for fun, but to make a difference. And I'll tell you the truth, when the church is reawakened and comes alive, oh, things will happen that were supposed to happen. Signs and wonders will follow the preaching of the word. People will be healed, people will be set free, people will be saved in their droves because a church and people came together and prayed and sought the face of God. So let's sing this together. Open your hands, open your hearts to God today. If anyone feels they need laying on of hands today, just come quickly. We're not going to have long prayers over you. We'll pray for a quick transfer of the power of God. We're not asking for that. But if you feel there's a need within you to have a contact, a point of contact, we can do that quickly with you today. So God bless you. Father, take what we've heard, sow it in by the Spirit, and use it for your glory. Revive your people and revive your church. In the name of Jesus, amen. Peter.